Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Time, Overeaters Anonymous, A Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Amy G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Today's date is Thursday, October 17th, 2024. Today we are reading in the Big Book, and we are on page 53 in the chapter We Agnostics, the third paragraph. Arrived at this point, going through that one paragraph ending in, we didn't like to lose our support. Today's readers are, and thank you so much to Team Thursday, Anne Marie M., Martha Z., Katie G., on 12 Steps, Jackie D., on the 12 Traditions, Joni C., our newcomer greeter, Reva P., our host for the second unrecorded hour, Eileen M., and announcements, Nancy C. The reference numbers for yesterday, Wednesday, 7 a.m., 21,836. For Wednesday, yesterday at 10 a.m., 21,837. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask for Jackie D. to read the 12 steps. Please go ahead, Jackie.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jackie, and I am a compulsive overeater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so injured them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service, and thank you for your service, Amy.
Thank you, Jackie. I will now ask for Joni C. to read the 12 traditions. Please go ahead, Joni.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Joni C. Okie dokie, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. If you go over, you'll hear me say time. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. Again, this meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book. We are on page 53 in the chapter We Agnostics, the third paragraph, and I'm going to ask Anne-Marie M. to begin reading. Go ahead, Anne-Marie.
Good morning, Amy. This is Anne-Marie M., and good morning to everyone else also. This is Anne-Marie M. in South Carolina, recovered compulsive overeater through God's grace and by working the steps in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you, God. Okay. Arrived at this point, we were squarely confronted with the question of faith. We couldn't duck this issue. Some of us had already walked far over the bridge of reason toward the desired shore of faith. The outlines and the promise of the new land had brought luster to tired eyes and fresh courage of flagging spirits. Friendly hands had stretched out in welcome. We were grateful that reason had brought us so far, but somehow we couldn't quite step ashore. Perhaps we had been leaning too heavily on reason that last mile, and we did not like to lose our support. Okay, so arrived at what point? So I'm just going to read the sentence prior to in the paragraph, the last sentence in the paragraph prior. God is either, God is everything or else he is nothing. God either is or he isn't. What is was our choice to be? And so I realized that I needed to make a choice. I needed to either depend on this God that I couldn't see, I couldn't touch, or could I rely on what I knew? And for me, at this point, back in, you know, when I was on in step two, I was still relying on the food because I learned from a very early age that that would give me comfort. But these people, you know, people in OA were telling me that this God that I couldn't see, you know, hear or even feel was kind of like the wind. I mean, I could feel the wind, but that I would have to rely on that. And that was too scary for me. So, however, I did see, you know, it says here, some of us had already walked over the bridge of reason. And I see that bridge of reason is capitalized. So I have already, you know, thinking of the bridge of reason as God, you know, to the shore of faith and the new land, you know, this wonderful, you know, looking like it's God. And it did bring luster, like radiance and brilliance. When I saw the people who were recovered, when I went to that first Vision for You conference and I could look in the eyes of people that were recovered, the light in their eyes, the radiance that they had, you know, I wanted that. And so I felt like, you know, they did have a friendly hand stretched out to me. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. But somehow I couldn't quite step ashore. I couldn't quite put all my faith in God. You know, the previous paragraph that God was either everything or he was nothing. And so I did have doubt. And, you know, it was 5 more years of being in the food because I couldn't quite step ashore. I couldn't quite lean too heavily on this reason, which they have capitalized as, you know, as God. I couldn't, you know, I'm sorry, this reason is my reason, like that I put food above God. So perhaps we had been leaning too heavily on reason, and that's capitalized, and that was my God, the food. What was going to give me comfort? Or what I thought, it was going to give me comfort. I had that illusion. But it didn't, you know. I mean, it gave me comfort for just a little while, but I really had to, and I finally, through God's grace and by developing a strong relationship with God, that has given me the faith to rely on him and to trust, you know. And a friend asked me if I was going to review this paragraph and, you know, figure out what I was going to say, and I just trust that God's going to put the words in my mouth. And yep, is that my time, Amy?
It is. Yes, it is.
Okay, I'll just stop at that. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much, Anne Marie, for getting us started. Way to go! All right, this is time we're going to take names for those who would like to share on what was read. Quick reminder. If you have shared in the last couple of days, although we value your experience, step aside and let others share their experience, strength, and hope, namely Tuesday, Wednesday of this week on any of the Vision for You meetings. Okie dokie, let's get started. Who would like to share?
Chris Bonnie from Southern California.
Rick J.
All I got Cola. Was Rick J. Three on that one. Who was before that?
Bonnie B.
from Southern California.
Nancy P.
I got Bonnie P. I got Nancy P. And there was someone from Southern California. Who was that, please?
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
Chris from Southern California.
Chris. Okay. And Lisa? Did I hear Lisa B?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. Who else?
Nicole S.
Nicole? Anyone else? Okay, I thought I heard
Becky
someone,
K.
but I didn't get in.
Ashley S.
Becky K. Ashley S. Okay, so we're going to hold there. I've got Chris. I didn't get your initial. Bonnie P., Rick J., Nancy P., Lisa B., Nicole S., Becky K., and Ashley S. Did I miss anyone? Just want to make sure in that first round of people that I couldn't hear their names. Great. All right, Chris from Southern California, you are up. Can I have the initial for your last name, please? Chris, are you there? Press star 1 to unmute.
Hi, sorry about that. Chris S. from Southern California.
Go Go ahead. Great.
Hi. Thank you very much to the leader for sharing today and getting us started. It's funny. That reading is very I needed to hear that this morning. I'm very grateful that I am willing to believe today. I'm on the road for work, and it's very overwhelming. I'm in and out of cars and like motels, and I'm in and out of seeing destruction because I'm working the hurricanes in South Georgia. And I'm grateful that I'm able to be of service. It's really difficult. My higher power was definitely food, 100%. It was 100% food. And I don't know when or how, but I did decide to believe at one point 3-something years ago that there was something better than that. But it's been, and for food, the food is at peace today, and the food is where it should be, and I'm not obsessed or have cravings. But it's really hard for me to get through daily life sometimes and have God in the forefront. God is usually somewhere in the back, and so there's a lot of pain, and a lot of pain for me to go to God a lot of the times. So today, I woke up, I would say, with God, and that sounds very corny, but I did wake up with God, and then I heard this reading and the person sharing. And I'm really hoping to stick with that for the rest of the day and find peace. Because when I stick with God, I do get a lot of serenity throughout the day. And I'm really grateful for this meeting. I listen every day in the morning at 7, and it's really helped me have a good foundation while I'm away from my usual routine back home. Thank you for letting me share. And again, thank you for this meeting.
Thank you so much, Chris S. from California. Okay, Bonnie P., you're up, and followed by Rick J. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Hey, good morning. It's Bonnie B. from Southern Florida. Oh, my goodness, how blessed we are to have this program and to have this meeting, to have this beautiful book. So a couple of things that jumped out to me were, you know, specific words, like the word confronted. It means to face, to meet, to deal with a difficult situation. Here's the situation. I'm either going to have faith, which is going to present itself as in present tense, like quiet, stillness, or I'm not. I'm going to be in that area of reason, which is, you know, for me, it's future tripping. It's chatter. It's craziness in my head. It produces anxiety and fear, resulting in me going to a place where God is not. And I think many of us will end up talking about the hurricanes, right? I mean, this is real life stuff. And yet God is in the present moment. As of yesterday at 5:00, we finally had internet. And so grateful. But again, I have one of two places to go. Either I step into that definition of peace, which is complete trust, hope, belief, reliance, expectation. It's the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions or the certainty of things not yet seen. And it's a state of being free from doubt. Well, how do I get that? I have to look at others. I have to look at what God has done for others. When I come to this line on a daily basis, and I hear peace, the freedom from what I just described, right? I mean, it's real. And so I take out my notebook, and every time God shows up, I start creating my story. And little by little, I fall into that place of complete faith. And when I'm not there, which is why I do a 10th step, it pulls me back. And yes, I've made reason, which is my thinking, my God. Because I can't figure this stuff out. It's like, oh my goodness, 3 hurricanes in under 5 years? Are you kidding me? Like, what do I do with this? I don't do anything with it. I pull myself back into that state of peace, which is living in the present moment with my God. The gift that he's given me today is his presence in this moment. And he's not out there, which is where my disease wants me to go. And when I end up dealing with the out there, it will be in the present moment and he will be here again. And so I only have one of two choices, either fall into the hands of my loving God and trust him, even though I can't see it, or go back into the disease, because there is no other option for me. I'm so grateful for each of you and for your service, and I just hope every one of you have a blessed and abstinent day. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Bonnie from Florida, Bonnie P. All right, Rick J., you're up, followed by Nancy P. Go ahead, Rick J., welcome.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for your service. Can I be heard?
Yes, very well.
Okay, all right. Thank you. And thanks, everyone, for, kicking us off in this paragraph. Just like Anne Marie was sharing, it's like the point, what's the point that we have arrived at? And for me, it was, I had this, this resistance, this resistance, into this. It was hard for me to be all in. A statement, like God is everything or else he is nothing. God either is or he isn't. What was supposed to be? And that was where I got consumed and overwhelmed by a lot of old ideas that stirred up a lot of old emotions, and my resistance just would kick in, from this old idea. And, because I was starting to feel a lot of hope, and I really wanted to keep into the hope of this, of actually being able to change to get what other people had, but then there was this resistance, like, ugh, and I didn't like certain terms, and, I don't even like the word faith, it conjures up these old, feelings and images of going to kit revivals. And, I've got my own complicated past, but for me, this right here, and in fact, everything I know that they're really trying to do is to help us get through this hump, and for me, thank God for Abby, who suggested the bill. Hey, why don't you choose your own conception of God to believe in? I'm adding those words. But for me, if I can choose my own conception of God to believe in, then it doesn't matter. I want to believe in something. It tells me in step two, I come to believe in this. It's important. It's imperative for me to have a connection to a belief in a power greater than myself. It doesn't matter what I call it. So, and in this chapter, we agnostics, I want to believe. And so it's allowing me to believe in whatever I want. So I don't have to be an agnostic unless I choose to be. I'm only agnostic if I'm comparing my God to your God. But if I'm accepting my own conception of God, whatever that is, it doesn't matter, then I don't have to be agnostic. I can be, which I loved. I saw the, the opposite.
Time.
Is Gnostic. Is Gnostic. I'm a Gnostic. And a Gnostic is just processing knowledge of spiritual things, and that's what I'm doing. Thank you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Rick J. Rick, can you remind me, I missed, where are you from? What state?
Oh, I'm so sorry. North Carolina.
North Carolina. You may have said that. I didn't write it down. Okay, so that was Rick J. from North Carolina. Thank you so much. All righty, now we have Nancy P. followed by Lisa B. Good morning, Nancy.
Hey, good morning. Nancy P. is having the West Hampton, Massachusetts. Well, I'm not really there. I'm away, but that's where I live. I love this chapter. It's my favorite one. And I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but I'm still agnostic. I don't care what anybody thinks or, what the book says about that. The book actually tells me that I'm allowed to think whatever I want. And so I don't think anything. I don't make a choice. I'm neither in reason nor am I in faith. I'm completely devoid or detached from all that, because that was the only way that I could harness the power of what this book says and make it work for me. And, I was brought to that place by my excellent sponsor, who wasn't my friend, is not my friend, will never be my friend, was very different, but she was an excellent sponsor, and she knew the book, and she taught me herself, or, you know, taught me, showed me that, that I only have to ask two questions. What do I want God to be, and what do I want God to do for me? And I said, I'm going to take that challenge. What do I want? And the first thing was not God. I don't like the word. It doesn't make me feel comfortable or attached or anything except icky. So I checked it, and I checked everything else that made me feel yucky and not capable of embracing. And I came up with, you know, what can I attach myself to? What can I embrace? Not believe, but embrace. And, you know, I can embrace trust and kindness and gentleness and generosity and patience and integrity and honesty and sympathy and all the rest of it. And what do I want it to do for me? Make me into those things. That's my goal, such as it is. So I don't feel like I have, you know, I don't care. I get a lot of phone calls from people, like, who want to know about this, who, you know, take exception or just are curious. And my answer is, why do I have to choose? You know, I'm 6 weeks away from 7 years of recovery, and my relationship with food is the least of those gifts, the shabbiest of all. You know, I help other people. I don't help myself with food. I'm happy, joyous, and free. I comprehend the word serenity, and I know peace. And that's worked for me for 7 years. And, you know, I have to remember that when I think about step two, I have more in front of me, way more in front of me than I do behind me. And step two, I didn't know this until I actually, you know, shut the F up and listened. It says, came to believe that a power greater than me could restore me to sanity, not in a power. And so, you know, I'm as happy as a clam today, happier than clams. You know, I am happy, joyous, and free. I'm in Europe right now. It's my 10th trip, which I'm coming back tomorrow. So far, so good. No problems with anything. Joyous and free and delighted with this trip. And, you know, I owe all of that, every speck of my life to one thing and one thing only. Say it with me. Surrender, surrender, surrender. Because how else can I explain, you know, jumping out of a plane without any parachute over a field of metal spikes, all tipped with cyanide, and still being happy, joyous, and free, and capable, and all that. And it's open to everybody. There's no gold, bronze, or silver membership. Everybody gets the same. All you have to do is that one thing. Surrender, surrender, surrender. Thank you for letting me share. Sorry, whatever, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy P. from Massachusetts. All righty, Lisa B., followed by Nicole S. Go ahead, Lisa.
Good morning. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in South Carolina. And I spell my name L-E-S-A. And thank you, Amy, and for everyone that's doing service. I love this reading, and the reader did a wonderful job sharing on it. I really identified. What comes to my mind with this reading is that this is a miraculous program. It's not magical, but it is miraculous. And, you know, I had to believe that the miracles could happen for me. And they started when the friendly hands, you know, the fellows in the program started reaching out to me when I introduced myself as a newcomer. You know, and to this day, still, it's the same thing. Like what Bill says, you know, work with another alcoholic will save the day. And it's always like that. It doesn't just mean with sponsees, but with other recovered fellows. Because the luster in their eyes, you know, comes through the phone to me. I'm hearing the program that is sustaining them. I'm hearing this power that they have gained access to that is carrying them. And I had to see that I needed, not only that there is a power, but that I need that power. You know, it's my lack of power is my problem. And sometimes I'm the one with the luster in my eyes, you know, and I can share that with others through my voice and my words and my experience. And other times, you know, I get it from other fellows. And step two in the AA 12 and 12 tells me to acquire it, this amazing it. I had only to stop fighting and practice the rest of AA's program as enthusiastically as I could. Yes, as enthusiastically as I could. And, you know, reason worked for me for a long time. And sometimes I go back to that old friend of reason and I forget that my God is a supernatural power God. that it's not something that is going to be based in logic and reason. It's outside the box. You know, I've opened up the box and I've experienced this amazing unlimited power, but I so many times, because of my own discomfort, want to contain it and reel it back in. And I just keep praying, Lord, you know, help me to stay out of the way and just be open to your will. So anyways, I love the capital N and capital L, the new land that represents God, my higher power. It's a new land. It's a new world. And it's like what Bill says, you know, a new world came into view. And he talks about my friend's roots grasped new soil. It's all new. You know, the only thing that has to change is everything. And it's a miraculous program. It's not magical. But I have to do the work, and I need God's power to enable me to do the work. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Lisa B. from South Carolina. Nicole, you are up. Please go ahead. Good morning.
Hi, this is Nicole S. from Colorado. Thank you for your service this morning. And I really think of, you know, this bridge of reason toward the desired shore of faith. So I can see it. I can see that new land. And but just, I want to stay in what's familiar for me. And familiar for me is me being the actor trying to run the show. And, I think, you know, I'm in the water, and I've got a leaky boat, and there's sharks swimming around me, and there's a bridge that I can cross through to that shore of faith. But that bridge looks, you know, rickety, like it may, as I may fall through it, and my fear and not wanting to leave what's familiar holds me back, and I'm leaning on my own reason, and you know that I can still do this, even though, you know, I'm failing. And you know, I think of just like the Israelites, you know, going to the promised land, they were just so fearful, and yet, you know, it was right there. And and that's so me, because of my fear, and because I, you know, my reason, my just effort, my efforts, I think that I can just keep, you know, rowing my boat to shore, and I just can't quite step ashore. So me being a believer, I act so agnostic, because I don't want to trust God, and I don't want to have that faith in something that I can't see, you know, because faith is, it's, you know, the substance of things not seen. All I have to do is just, there's that bridge, and I just got to step there, and God's loving hand is underneath me to support me. And in this program, I've got fellows who are already over there on the other side, and they're there to help me and help me to get past. So I'm so grateful just for this meeting, for everybody shares, and that there's just, we've got that you know, that land, desired shore of faith, that new land that is so much better than the old land that I'm, you know, want to see.
Oh, Nicole, we lost you. Nicole?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was done. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Nicole. Nicole S. from Colorado. Okay, before we move ahead to Becky and Ashley, I just want to remind folks we're on page 53 in the chapter We Agnostics, unpacking the third paragraph, and we'll take names after Ashley. Okay, Becky, you're up. Please go ahead. Good morning.
Hi, Amy. Is it me, Becky Kay?
Yes, it is. Hey, Becky.
Oh, hi. Thank you, everyone. I'm sorry I was unmuting. Becky Kay, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Maryland. Wow, this paragraph is amazing. I think for me, I always relied on so-called logic and my own self-will. And boy, oh boy, I really tried to control my food and overeating. And each and every time I tried a new diet or a new fad, I just had it in my own self-will and logic, like, you know, this time I'm really going to make it work, and this time I know what I'm doing, and it worked for a small, tiny little bit of time, and then boom, I was right back in the food. And I think the gift of desperation and subconsciously realizing that my own self-will and logic just didn't work, I found OA. And as this paragraph said, these warm, welcoming hands, friendly hands outstretched to welcome me. And then you all start talking about God. And I was like, oh, is this a cult? Like, I have my own God. Thank you very much. But what I realized is that while I had faith, I never relied on my faith. I mean, I said the Lord's Prayer every day, you know, thy will be done. But those were just mere hollow words. I never followed thy will. And this program and everyone in the rooms helped me realize that I had to put self-will and logic at bay, and I had to rely on faith. And, you know, you all taught me that I have a twofold disease, you know, a physical allergy, but then a spiritual malady of the mind. And while I can put the sugar and the carbs and even the volume down to address the physical malady, the spiritual malady, that's where God came in. And I learned that from all of you. And, you know, it has just been a miracle that relying on God versus my own reason and logic through the friendly hands that outstretched to welcome me, I will forever be grateful for everyone in this program and for a program. But I just try to renew my faith each and every day. And I just really appreciate sharing. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you so much, Becky K., fellow Marylander. All righty. Ashley S., you're up there. We're going to take some more names.
Good morning. Ashley S., recovered compulsive overeater in Kentucky. Wow, to this paragraph. I've never heard it in the way that I'm hearing it today. And what I'm hearing is that faith and the belief in God, the new land, is stepping ashore to letting God embrace me, to really letting the embodiment of that relationship with a higher power and that conscious contact envelop and embrace me. And I had never realized or seen before the capital letters. And I, for me in this moment today, like that bridge had always seemed like the non-faith choice, but today I'm seeing it as it's the came to believe. And for a long, long time, I've believed in the program, I've believed in fellowship and the fellowship and the tools, and they have taken me so, you know, so very far, truly. And I have embraced them and held on to that, those rails. And I am recently stepping ashore to the new land and letting the relationship, the conscious contact, and the true embodiment and sensation of higher power embrace me. And stepping ashore, it feels like going from a firm belief in knowing it worked because I saw it in you, which also in some ways is still logic, to a firm belief in the great whatever. So no clue if that is what is meant or whatever, but it is what I'm hearing, feeling, experiencing today. As I reflect on the 18 years I've been here, only two of which I've been recovered. So I hope everybody has a beautiful day. Thank you for this meeting and for everyone who serves. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Ashley S. from Kentucky. Okay, we're on page 53, the third paragraph in We Agnostics. Who else would like to share on what was read?
Vasa O.
Tina S.
Catherine
Vasa O.
Lucy
Tina.
B.
Lucy
B.
I'm sorry, who is that?
Lucy B. from Florida.
Oh, Lucy. I got you, Lucy. So I have Vasa O, Tina S, and Lucy.
You get Tina S? Okay.
Tina? Yep, gotcha.
Adrian N.
Catherine Adrian. A. And Catherine A. Okay. And let's hold there. Catherine A, did you say? Catherine A?
Yes.
Okay. Ah, oh, wonderful. Okay, so I have Vasa O, Tina S, Lucy B, Adrian M, Catherine A. Hopefully we get everyone in. All right, Vasa O, let's go. Please go ahead. Vasa, are you there? Press star 1 to unmute.
I was muted, Amy. And good morning, everyone. I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts right now. Oh, I love this big book. You know, every paragraph, it's precious to me. I was a doubter when I came to this program. How can I depend or how can I believe on something that I cannot see or touch? But I was so ready and willing to do whatever, you know, because I didn't want to die. I've been into the food addiction for 25 years in my life and tried to put it down and pick it up, everything I heard of, you know, the diets and everything, but I could never keep it down, maybe just for a little while. And then I come to the program, and I did the first three steps all at once. I can't, he can, I'll let him. I had the gift of desperation. And but I like the, instead of God, instead of saying God, I love the idea saying the higher power. I need to find a power greater than myself, which I call God today. And my sponsor, because I had a fear of God, so my sponsor said to me, well, I'll lend you my God because I have loving God in my life. And I said, oh, whatever, you know. I didn't say that to her personally, but in my mind, that's what I said to myself. And when I came to believe me, I mean, I was powerless over the food addiction, but with my life and my will, I really had a hard time to surrender because I was an overachiever. I ran my life, you know, in many ways. I was tough and I knew it all, but I could not put the food down. And that's what brought me to the program. With everything trying to figure out, it just did not work. So when I came to believe was when I could put the food one day at a time, one meal at a time. And of course, I did surrender to God. And I said, I can't do this. Every morning I'd surrender. I said, God, I can't do this by myself. I need you to give me the power, to give me the strength to get through the day. I could have never put one day at a time before, you know, with nothing in between. And all of a sudden, I could do it. And I said, this is a miracle. I got one day today that I couldn't do before, putting those alcoholic foods down, that you know. And I heard the food was drug. And sugar was drug. It was just as bad as cocaine. I was shocked to hear that food was drug. But yes, it was a drug. It was killing me. So I was ready and willing. And there's no graduation. I've been in this program for 38 years. And I just keep coming. And I love one paragraph at a time. And what the problem was, I learned what the problem was and what the solution was. And the solution's right here. I didn't have to go anywhere else. My higher power which I call God, is here. He has gotten me through so many abstinent days and also through my life. So I'm just so grateful to be here with all of you and to hear your experience, strength, and hope. And I pass. Thank you, and I pass.
Perfect timing. Basa O from Massachusetts. Tina S., you're up, followed by Lucy B. Go ahead, Tina. Welcome. Good morning.
Thanks so much, Amy. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. Wow, what a great meeting. I feel like I say that every time I share, but it's so true. That's why I keep coming back to this meeting. You know, arrived at this point, you know, God either is or he isn't. What's our choice to be? You know, I don't know that I really thought of, you know, I was raised in a religion. When I got here, I had all kind of opinions about that. So I don't know that at this point that I even made a choice. You know, what I do know is when I arrived here, you know, and the bridge of reason, I love that reason thing, because for me, that was just everything I thought I knew was reason, for sure. And it got me into a few seats in 12-step programs. So, you know, what attracted me was going to a meeting and seeing people have this thing that I wanted. And I loved it to share before, because somehow, I don't know that this was a lot different than another diet plan that I had. You know what I mean? I didn't know that at the time. I saw something, I thought it would work, and I want it. You know, and that's what I had when I got here. You know, people seem to be living different, and they seem to not be so obsessed with this food thing, whether they were eating it or they weren't eating it. Either way, the obsession of the food, you know, and I wanted that. And what they told me was what I had to do was these 12 steps that at the time are up on the wall, you know. And I'm like, okay, maybe this is another, you know, the diet plan that I had that I wrote down, you know. And so I thought I would just try it. And I love the previous share. I was so desperate at this time. I was so desperate. You know, my reason, you know, got me tired eyes and my spirit was weak, you know. And so today, when I think about this paragraph in of itself, you know, it talks about a spiritual awakening that I have to have. And I love that it's power, that it's not, and it's defined by me, whatever that is. And by the time that I got to the 11th step, you know, I was really ready to cultivate a relationship and enlarge my spiritual growth. And so with that, you know, after working, you know, 10 steps, I got this idea of what I want my God to be, and I love that it was shared. What is my God to be, and what can he do for me? And that's what I was told, you know, and I don't know that I have a whole lot of, you know, I just say God because it's easier, you know, and I say power when I hear a lot of people say power, so the word is interchangeable for me. But what happens is, you know, I get this new land, you know, I get this new land. And, you know, when I just said that new land, I just, like, this breath of fresh air, you know, and then this release of the old, you know, and I get chills all over my body because that's what it has given me, a transformation of myself. I am so different today, and I'm so grateful that I want to continue to do this thing, you know, and to have this power, whatever it is, you know, enter into my life, and so that I am different. So I continue to be different, so that I can be useful, that I can be helpful. And I love all the words, the integrity and the compassion, all that stuff. That's what I want in my life today. So true, so true. You know, so I'm going to keep coming back. I'm going to keep doing what you all are doing. And hopefully, and not hopefully, I know that if I keep doing what you all are doing, I'm going to keep getting what you're all getting. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Tina F. from Florida. Okay, Lucy B., followed by Adrian. Lucy, you're up. Lucy B, press star 1 to unmute.
Okay, sorry about that. Good morning, everybody. I'm Lucy B, grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater, and exercise bulimic from Florida. Thank you, everybody who's doing service. I feel like these last several pages are sort of outlining the mental process, you know, of moving from logic and reason to faith. And I need this process, you know, in these pages to move from acknowledging my disease, my powerlessness, to needing to let go of reason and logic to cross that bridge to faith. You know, I feel like that faith, that bridge represents our choice. I love the imagery of the bridge with reason at one end and faith at the other. that bridge of reason, you know, leads me to a faith that works. I imagine it kind of like moving from my head, my brain, down into my heart, you know, going from that thinking part of ourselves down into that feeling, having that spiritual experience part of ourselves. And even as a believer, you know, I ask myself, do I walk back and forth across that bridge of reason for support sometimes instead of remaining on the shore of faith, you know, in kind of a steadfast way? You know, I feel like crossing that bridge of reason represents making that choice between, you know, my God, is my God everything, or is my God nothing? And I feel like this is very much in the present for me. And I love the idea of actively making that choice every day. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lucy B. from Florida. And we have Adrian M. and Catherine A. We have 5 minutes, so if you want to split the time, or we'll just make do as best we can. All righty, go ahead, Adrian.
Okay, I'll try to be fast. It's Adrian N. as in Nancy from Florida. And I am such a slow learner. As a few shares back, somebody said, I didn't see the capital letters. And I didn't see the capital letters, and I didn't hear people talking about the capital letters. It's like my brain is so slow in absorbing information that I had to go back to the paragraph and look and said, oh, yeah, look at that, capital letters. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Adrian N. from Florida. All right, Catherine A., you take us out.
Hi, this is Catherine A. from Ontario, Canada. This paragraph really reminds me of that process of coming to believe in a power greater than myself, because, you know, before joining program, I didn't even want to get on the bridge of reason toward the desired shore of faith. Like, I was very resistant to the idea of faith in general. Didn't even want to get on that bridge. But coming to that moment of realizing that there was no other option within the compulsions, you know, I was either going to be a slave to the compulsions or fighting them the rest of my life, and that there had to be something else. And so I was open to reason to get on that bridge toward the desired shore of faith, but I couldn't get all the way across. Because when I was confronted with that question of, you know, God is either everything or he's nothing, I couldn't get all the way to the other side with just my reason, with just my logic. You know, I could look around and see the promises coming true for all of the other people in the room, and like, that was awesome. But that only got me so far. I really had to do what another share said and let it get out of my head and sink down into my heart. I really needed to sit with that and really, you know, I couldn't logic my way to the other side of that bridge. But it's really when that got down into my heart that the promises really started to come true. So thanks for letting me share. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Catherine A. Well, we actually have 2 minutes left on the clock. So, would someone like to share for 2 minutes?
Sonia S. from Pennsylvania.
All right, Sonia, let's go.
Hi. Thank you. I'll be super quick. This is Sonia, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. I just want everybody share yesterday and today on these two particular passages. And I've really gotten to a point where I'm convinced that there is absolutely no human power that can relieve me of my alcoholism, compulsive overeating. Only God can. And what comes to mind for me is I was diagnosed with cancer last year, and, you know, I was fearful of dying, and God provided for me the strength and the courage. And there was no person on this earth that could have provided that peace except from God. And so for me, God is all powerful and is now becoming a real close friend and an entity in my life. And it is very miraculous and spiritual and mysterious, but I'm just so grateful. So thanks for letting me share.
Perfect timing. Sonia, what state are you from? Oh, might have missed her. Well, that was Sonia S. All righty. Thank you, everyone who shared. Please join us for a second awesome unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, October 17, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,839. That's 21839. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Martha Z, will you please read A Vision for You?
Thanks, Amy. This is Martha Z, recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God from outside of Philadelphia. And good morning, my friends in recovery. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.